Right, off ye go, Ebenezer. Watch this, me dear. It'll make your eyes pop out like warts on a mango wurzel.
Is it true that he can do it further than anyone else in the county?
Ah, 4 points of Scrumpy and there's no holding him. Come on, Eb, off ye go, leg fly.
Hang on. Oh. Hang on, I'm working up to it. Ah. Any minute now. Yeah. Stand back. Oh. Here I go.
That was an excerpt from Across the River and Into the Trees. A famous golfing sequence. Now it's time for the first of a new series. We present Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick and Joan Sims in...
Yeah, stop messing about.
Yes, it's Stop Messing About, the first all-nude radio show. Nervous listeners are advised to keep their eyes closed during the performance, and you're reminded that it's forbidden to take photographs.
They don't want to hear all that. It's me, they want me, and they want me soon. And what I want to know is how long do I have to hang around with no clothes on, waiting to give my all to the waiting millions?
I was only trying to build up my part a little.
Well, if you feel you absolutely have to.
And it's all right for you.
You? You?
Mr. Paddick, if you don't mind. Well, if that's how it's going to be, I'll put my edge-to-edge Donegal tweed back on again.
Yes, good idea. Oh, look, he's been sitting on the radiator again.
Oh, I do think it's so embarrassing working in the nude. Mm. I mean, it's so cheap, isn't it? And there's nowhere to put your hands.
They've taken leave of their senses.
This other fella on the show, who's he?
Who?
Him over there.
Him? Oh, that's her, Joan Sims.
No!
Yes!
Sorry, Joan, I didn't recognise you without your clothes on.
Hello, Hugh. Well, how nice to see a familiar face. How nice to think that we'll be seeing such a lot of each other.
Leave it, Ducky, leave it.
I'm sorry, but I am a bit flustered. I've just had a rather unnerving experience with the Max Harris group.
Yes. I knew there'd be trouble having nude musicians. Bad enough when they take their bicycle clips off, but when anything else...
No, it wasn't like that, which is a bit worrying. No, it's the poor man who plays the tuba. He says the feel of the cold brass is playing havoc with his embouchure.
Well, that's his problem. Look, I'm freezing standing here, not getting any laughs. Let's slip into something rather long and formal.
Oh, good idea. Now, what do you suggest?
An announcement from Douglas Smith.
And about time, too. Ladies and gentlemen, bounding forward, exuding pink warmth from my ring of confidence, it's two up, two down, and one out the back, your very own Douglas Smith, presenting you with my pull-out supplement. Specially fixed to the rest of the show with elastic, so that it snaps back into place when you're finished with it. First, the show's resident resting actor, Thespian Boot, with this week's Shopper's Guide.
Hello. Last night I attended a gala opening of a new supermarket in Shaftesbury Avenue. I found my way to the greengrocery department, directed by the young avant-garde manager, Dominic O'Bicep. I had a good feel of the fruit. And as so often in the past, I was struck by the tomatoes. The tinned locusts and champagne were not up to the standard the ordinary housewife has come to expect, though I must say, it is good to see freeze-dried guano back in the West End after such a long absence. Meat! Well, I like a good mince as well as an X-Man. But on this occasion, I bought 5 pounds of white offal.
That's a lot of tripe.
If that's the way you feel, I'll go.
Well,
that's disgrace, reduced to this man of my talent.
What talent?
Yes, my fooling there was the talk of the old witch. I was Titania, you know.
Yeah.
Chic again.
Page 2 of the supplement, Holiday Tips.
Mrs. R.B. of Penge wants to go skiing this year, but her husband prefers potholing. Luckily, there is a solution. I'm sending you details of McConaughey's 14-day, all-inclusive, potholing on skis holiday.
Shark fishing the Cairngorms. It's a real He-Man sport with brawny little fishermen showing you how it's done.
Nice.
Then there's the French Riviera.
Nice.
Cheaper than ever with Muckett's Tours, who've brought a new meaning to the term package holiday.
They send you by parcel post.
But there'll be very little time to spare. Try water skiing on the Round Pond at Hampstead.
What about the Canaries?
Leave them at home. They don't like water.
Time now for our musical spot. Once in every decade, something thrilling bursts forth to astound the musical public. And we're all praying it won't happen again today. As we bring you our new singing group, Peter, Paul and Mrs. Nosepoultice. Before you actually get going, perhaps you'd tell us a little about yourselves. For instance, surely Mrs. Nosepoultice isn't your real name.
Well, no, it's Peter, actually.
I'm Mrs. Nosepoultice. My introduction to show business was when I became the first topless fish fryer in Fulham.
Sounds dangerous.
It was. And with the money I got from the Industrial Accident Board, I bought a guitar. It was then I met Paul.
She was young, vital and trendy. Vital. Well, she was vital to me. We formed a trio, but somehow there was something missing.
There was only two of us.
Yes, that's where I come in to make the numbers up. And I've been making them up ever since. Remember numbers like 25 hours from Tulsa?
25?
Yeah, we was going the wrong way.
What are you going to sing for us today?
Well, our main repertoire consists of three songs. Two of them are Hang Down Your Head, Tom Dooley, and the other one isn't.
Well, let's have the other one.
Right. We picked this one up in the Appalachian Mountains.
Yeah, you should be surprised, the things you can pick up there.
It's in the folk idiom. It does have a touch of R and B, but we cleared it up with penicillin.
Originally, it was a cowboy's lament to his dead saddle, but our version goes something like this.
As I walked out in the streets of Laredo, as I walked out in Laredo one day, I thought to myself, there is something not right here. The bus that I got on said tootin' Broadway.
I can see by your outfit that you're a commuter,
said a man at the bus stop a-waving his stick.
Come sit down beside me and hear my sad story, for I was a-going to Old Hackney Wick.
So we wandered together the streets of Laredo, but no bus inspector was anywhere seen. Then we spied a young maiden in its scarf and glasses, she said,
am I right, is this Williston Green?
The three of us wandered the streets of Laredo, and cursing the buses that brought us this pain. Decided diversions at Acton had caused it. Next time we'll all go by the underground train.
And now it's Crackerjack and Norrie with Mother Time. When the music stops, Maud Nethersole, alias Pixie Hot Muffin, will be here with another of her stories.
Hello, tinies, and biggies too. And a special hello to the in-betweenies who don't know whether they're fish, fowl, or good red herring. Today's story is specially for you, and it's called Arthur and Martha. Arthur and Martha were twins who were so much alike that even their mummy wasn't sure which was which. Come to that, neither were they. There was really only one difference between them. On the pocket of Arthur's pinny it said, Arthur. And on the pocket of Martha's pinny it said, Martha. So that was how they knew. But one day when Mummy had sent them to look for primroses in the fast lane on the Chiswick Flyover, a big Rolls Royce drove past and splashed mud all over them. Splish! Splosh!
all over their little pockets. And Arthur said, I'm a pretty bloody now, I'm bloody bloody schwabber. But Martha didn't know. And she said, you belong to Mummy, Mummy, So they ran home and asked Mummy. And she said, well, it's no good asking me. We'll have to wait till Daddy comes home. Well, Daddy scratched his head and said,
well, the only way to find out is to take off their pinnies and wash them.
And what do you think they found? Both of them had on the wrong pinnies. Or words to that effect. Oh, wasn't that a lovely story?
Absolute rubbish.
And now I think it's time we all got ready for bed.
She must be joking.
So here's a little song we can all sing while we are unbuttoning our pinnies.
The grand old Duke of York, he had 10,000 men.
I see.
He marched them up to the top of the hill and he marched them down again.
Chacun a son goût.
And when they were up, they were up. And when they were down, they were down.
And this is meant for children.
And when they were only halfway up, they were neither up nor down.
Yes. Well, it's certainly not suitable for adults.
They were neither up nor down.
Are you sure this is not a fella?
Next, we present the first in a series of film adaptations under the general title of Groovy Movie. Oh, it's pathetic. This week, a story of the corridors of power and of the small rooms off the corridors of power, of the men in the small rooms off the corridors of power, and of the women behind the men in the small rooms off the
corridors. Oh, get on with it. Stop padding your part, hanging it out like that.
We present Kenneth Williams as Johnny Clogg, an ambitious young politician who would put his hand to anything.
Johnny.
This is a story about the Houses of Parliament. Old, familiar, and a little shabby, perhaps, but we're going to tell it just the same.
I'm Botulinus Lightlust, the Prime Minister of Great Britain. I'm a dedicated, selfless man of sound judgment.
Any resemblance between this character and any living politician is hardly likely to occur to anyone.
The tale really begins on by-election day in Slagheap South. After 7 recounts, the results are just about to be announced.
Mrs. de Vere Stoats Fumbling, Conservative, 1.
Right.
Mr. Johnny Clogg, Labour, 2.
Right.
Oh, they're an apathetic lot in this constituency.
I therefore declare that the said Mr. Clogg is duly elected Miss Strawberry Ripple, 1900... No, wait a minute, that was yesterday. To serve as Member of Parliament for Slagheap South. That's it, yes.
Oh, fool. Ladies and gentlemen, you can well imagine what I'm feeling at this moment. During this campaign, certain vicious, ugly smear tactics have been used, but my win today has fully justified them. Yes. I shall do my best to represent all of you, including those in the Conservative Party, but I feel especially responsible for those in Labour. Thank you.
I will remember the day young Clogg arrived at the House of Commons. As was customary, he came to see me immediately. Just a minute, I'm in Cabinet.
Sorry.
I finished studying the white paper on our post-war roll. Then I went out to greet the lad.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Prime Minister, sir.
Oh, please, please. Let's make it PM, shall we?
If you say so. Good afternoon, Mr. Prime Minister, sir. Thank you. I've always...
always admired you, sir. You've been my hero. In my opinion, you're one of the most outstanding politicians England has ever produced.
That's what I like, Clog. Constructive criticism. Come and meet some of our colleagues.
Oh, rather.
Oh, hello there. Barbara Butrus. I'm prominent on the left.
Yes?
Yes, so you're Clog, Slug Heap South, eh? How do you stand on nuclear missiles?
Would you believe, carefully?
Good, good, very good, yes. Now, as you probably know, I'm Minister of Advanced Technology, Chairman of the Subcommittee on Industrial Reorganisation, and outside left in the House of Commons, five-a-side freestyle nude limbo dancers.
At this juncture, my many fans will thrill to the knowledge that I, Douglas Smith, BBC announcer extraordinaire, I've not given up my acting career. No, I play the aforementioned Houses of Parliament. It's a taxing part. And that one just slipped out.
Well, slip it back in again before anyone notices it.
I have two chambers, and my Big Ben is one of the sights of London. My extension runs right under Bridge Street and almost reaches the cenotaph. Hundreds of politicians bustle through my many passages, and I've got a bobby in my lobby.
Congratulations!
As the months passed, young Johnny Clog learned all about a politician's life.
Mine, as a matter of fact, but he couldn't prove out.
Johnny was a good MP. His constituents came to him with all their problems.
It's not right, Mr. Clog. They push things through my letterbox.
Who?
The postman. Eviction notices, they are. The landlord's trying to get me out. Wild, noisy parties every night. Cooking smelly foods on the landing and swearing and cursing. I'm entitled to do these things if I want to. I've been there 30 years.
Where exactly is this?
The YMCA.
If I raise it in the house, next time I get a chance. And next, please.
I represent the Slag Heap South Clean Up TV Society, Mr. Clog.
Yeah.
We all get together of an evening, and then we, then we
watch it.
Yes, the television. There's too much violence on the telly. I think you should stop it, Mr. Clark.
I'm generally sorry, it's force of habit.
Yes. Well, as I was saying, sitting there night after night, watching these plays full of sex and violence, I've decided to take steps, and I want you to help me.
To do what?
Become a television actor.
Johnny was fast learning the little tricks of parliamentary procedure that can help a man advance his career. He started going out with the Prime Minister's only daughter, Gwendolyn.
Oh, Johnny, you've shown me something that I didn't know existed. There's a warmer side to you.
I've had my back to the fire. Oh, Gwen, Gwen, have you any idea how much I yearn?
Yes, darling, 3,250 a year.
Sometimes, Gwen, I think you're a little mercenary. I don't know what it is, the beard, perhaps, the battle dress, the stem gun, perhaps.
Oh, Johnny, you're so gay.
Gwen, I have a question I want to ask. Will you? Will you?
She said yes. And 2 months later, he asked her to marry him. The reception was held at number 10. Number 10, Sebastopol Terrace, Kilburn.
Well, I wasn't having that lot clumping about in Downing Street. Johnny, my new son-in-law, buttonholed me in a corner.
Mr. Prime Minister, sir. Daddy, now that I'm in the family, so to speak, what about a job in the government? I mean, they all do it, don't they? I've got something to offer the party.
He had. It was a private detective report, listing the number of times I've paired with a lady member for Twickenham West. All right, lad, I'll create an opening for you. Go and get packed for your honeymoon. I looked around the crowded room, wondering who I could axe.
Hello, Botulinus.
Oh, not likely. I wouldn't axe you in a month of Sundays.
Where are the happy couple, then?
Upstairs, getting their things together.
Oh, they're off. They're off already, are they? So you're all set to axe somebody, eh? Well, how about one of these two coming over? They look a likely pair.
Oh, hello. I'm the Home Secretary. This is my Flynn Black Roll.
Hello. Oh, it's lovely.
Oh, it is a good
Yes, a
it's a parliamentary privilege to vow that your performance on the front bench.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. What have you two been doing lately?
Gambling, Bill, love. Mm. Giving us trouble.
Oh, he's a fool to himself, is that Bill?
Mm. Well, I didn't realise you were interested in gambling.
Oh, yes! Of course. My friend here, yeah. He once had a go at Monty, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yes. Had a go at Monty.
Well.
Go on, tell her. Hey. Tell her. Tell her.
Oh, I don't think I should.
Go on, get it out. Get it out.
I don't...
Go on, you'll feel better for
all
it.
All right.
Yeah.
Go on at me.
Go on.
Yes, Monty.
Monty.
Monte Carlo. I'd gone down there on a package. Just me and my mate.
Yes, his mate. Him and his mates. Justin, Serge and Clint.
Clint, yes.
Clint.
Clint. Well, Clint had this infallible system, see.
Infallible system? A roulette.
Roulette, yes, roulette. His system was, we added our ages together.
Add their ages.
Yes, we divided by three, added the number of the flight of the airplane, subtracted the number of Serge's room at the hotel, divided by the number of creme de menthe frappes we'd had at lunchtime, and multiplied that by the number of golf teeth what the croupier had.
It was infallible. Infallible,
it was.
Infallible, love.
Mm. Oh.
Imagine the scene.
Oh, yes.
Can you imagine the scene? The Monte Carlo casino, red gilt and plush, glittering chandelier, carpet halfway up your lallies.
Oh,
the whole, the whole atmosphere of decadent elegance. Oh, savouring not a little of the distinctly fantabulous.
Oh, what? Then come the denouements.
Oh.
Denouement. You can say that.
The denouement.
Oh,
the denouement.
Yes.
Oh.
Our calculations had arrived at number 32, and all our savings was on it.
Yes.
The wheel spun.
The wheel spun.
Spun. The little ball dropped. Click. Number 28. We lost a lot.
But I thought you said the system was infallible.
So it was, Zucky, but tell her. Go on. Tell her. Tell her what you've done.
I can't bring myself to.
Go on. No. Tell her what you've done.
I'd lied about my age.
Meanwhile, back at the sketch, the Prime Minister was still looking for someone to act.
Hang on. These character changes don't have to do have it with me, beetle wig. Now, ooh, it's better now. Where was I?
You are the Prime Minister.
Oh, yes.
I sack someone. But who? Even as I spoke, Sir Hugh Bullitt, the Minister of Education, approached.
Oh, hello, Gulfie. It's a smashing nosh what you laid on. Bit low on the booze, though, eh? A bit low, eh?
Bullitt. How long have you been my Minister of Education?
Well, now, let's see. One and five, that's... wait a minute. Four? No, I tell a lie. 32 days, half September, April, June. And take away three. I'll ask me another.
Oh, I don't think I'll bother. Bullitt, you're sacked.
Oh, I shouldn't have been fired. I mean, Bullitt... tired. See? You get it?
All right. Bully, you're fired.
I don't think that's very funny, you dirty... I'm dirty.
The PM reshuffled the cabinet immediately and made young Johnny Postmaster General.
Right. Now, here's what I propose. We put perforations round the edges, a watermark on the front, and glue on the back.
Oh, but darling, is that wise for telephone boxes?
And I've got plenty of other schemes for increasing the size of my surplus. Oh, yes. Oh, chair of planes round the post office tower. Telephone bingo. If you get the number dialed, you win a prize. Pillar boxes without slots for people who can't write. A grand sale of shop soil postal orders at half the price. Ah, the power! Ah, the power! Power!
He was the worst postmaster general the country's ever had. Anyway, he was having trouble both in his marriage and in his work.
Oh, Daddy, Daddy, his performance on the floor of the house leaves a lot to be desired. Daddy, you've got to speak to him.
Aye. Look here, Clug. You're greedy, clumsy and incompetent. Cunning and conniving. You leave me no choice.
Oh, no, you can't mean...
Aye, I'm making you Prime Minister. You're even better suited for the job than I am.
Get your feet in me.
Mr. Williams appeared by kind permission of the Royal Shakespeare Salt Beef Bar. Mr. Paddock featured from time to time, but we hope nobody noticed. Miss Sims, the delectable Miss Sims, added that soupçon of glamour without which the whole thing would have been so much tawdry dross.
Oh, thank you, Douglas. I like older men with a touch of sang-froid.
He's got more than a touch of it, dear. He's riddled with it.
That was Stop Messing About with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Joan Sims, and the Max Harris Group. The script was by Johnny Mortimer and Brian Cook and Miles Rudge. The producer was John Simmons.